This is Rhema for Today.
Well, I'm glad he went home. I'm glad he's up there walking down the streets of gold. I'm sorry that he missed out on God's best. Now, what am I saying to you? I'm saying to you, let's don't wait till we get in trouble. Let's correct ourselves right now if we're living in sin. If we're persisting in wrongdoing. Let's just don't let anything touch us that's wrong. Amen. Physical sin, sins of the flesh, or sins of the spirit, either one of them.
Welcome to Rhema for Today. Kenneth E. Hagin continues his teaching, What to Do When Faith Seems Weak and Victory Lost. Later in today's program, I'll tell you about this month's special radio offer. Right now, let's join Kenneth E. Hagin for today's message.
You promised us at least 70, 80 years or even longer, you know, and he's not old enough to die. Why should ye die? He said, well, I've been waiting on him for 30 years to judge himself and put away sin. I didn't know this, but I checked up on it and it was all true. See, I asked his sister, kinfolk. Came by revelation. He said, you see, he was saved when he's 13 years old. He's 43 years old now. 30 years I've been waiting on him. Think about the patience of God. You know, we get so impatient with one another. I get impatient. You don't ever get impatient, do you? I'm the only one that does that. Huh? I'm the only one that does that, huh? I'm the only one that way. But I get impatient with people sometimes, you know. And then I get to thinking about, well, you know, my, I just got to put up with this little thing, but God's putting up with all of us. Amen. Think about the patience of the Lord. It's amazing, isn't it? And then I just repent and go on, praise God. Well, think about the patience of God. Think about the long-suffering of God. He said, I've been waiting on him 30 years. To judge himself. Got saved. He's 13, 30 years ago. He's 43 years old now. And has never lived right. Never lived right in all of these 30 years. Just persisted in doing wrong. In fact, the Lord said to me, and I checked up on it, I asked his sister. The Lord said to me, I healed him one time of a broken back when he's living in adultery. Left his wife, living with another woman. I healed him of a broken back. I asked his sister. His sister told me, said, yeah, when I was, she was the youngest, you see, and he's the next to her, next to the youngest, see. She said, you see, I was just 12 years old. And so he had left his wife and went off with this other woman living with her. And on the job, while he fell, broke his back. They had him in this cast from his neck down, see. Finally, they could bring him from the hospital and bring him home. Because, see, he didn't have any home to go to because he left his wife and he is living with his other woman. And so they brought him back to his home. You know, where else could he go? His mama, you know, and this sister, just 12 years old. And so he said, the doctor said to him, you know, he said, well, he knew how to pray. He is around it, you know. And so he got to praying and he said, the Lord had healed him. And the doctor said, oh, no, no, you cut that. He wanted to cut the cast off. You cut that cast off? The doctor said, well, you'll just pass out, you'll turn as blue and black as a black person and fall down dead on the floor. But his sister, this 12-year-old, which was 12 years old time, this pastor's wife said, everybody was gone, he got me to bring the butcher knife and I helped him. We cut that cast off. And he got up out of bed and did just what the doctor said, just turned as black as a black person, although fell down the floor, but just suddenly rose up perfectly all right.
Praise God.
God said, I healed him. When he's living in adultery with a broken back. Think about God's mercy. I said, think about the mercy of God. Are you listening to me now? What I'm saying to you is if you're going to persist in wrongdoing and living in sin, sooner or later, if you don't judge yourself, you're going to have to be judged. You're going to get in trouble. I'd rather just judge myself and say, Lord, that's wrong. I'm not going to follow that. I'm not going to follow that prayer. I'm going to quit that. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
And so he said, the Lord said to me, now then though, is he continuing to live on in sin? Now then, about the fourth or the fifth wife later, he's got the cancer, you see. Now then, the Lord said to me, you see, he's saved now. He's got everything fixed up spiritually. He's got everything fixed up financially. He's got everything ready, and he'll never have a better time to go. Let him come on home. That's not the best, you see, God had for him. He missed God's best. I don't want to miss God's best. I don't want to take second best or third best or fourth best or fifth best. I want best, don't you? So you just leave him alone. In fact, he said he'll be dead within 2 days. Well, I went my way, and so this pastor asked me, said, Brother Hagin, said, I know you went down there and prayed, said, did you get anything? Yeah, I said, he'll be dead within 2 days. Well, the very next day, on Sunday, one of his doctors came out to, you know, he's not bedfast. He's up walking around, sitting out on the front porch, even going to church some. And one of his doctors came and ate Sunday dinner. Well, he went to the table, sat there, and ate, and said to the doctor, Doc, how much time have I got left? Oh, the doc said, you don't have to worry about dying for another 6 months or so. And we're working constantly. Maybe we'll come up with something. At least don't give up hope. You don't have to bother about dying. He said, Doctor, it might interest you to know that I'm going home tomorrow night at 10:20. This pastor told me afterwards, because I left the next day, went to another place to hold me. He said, they told me what he had said when church was over about 9:30, between 9:30 and 10. I went by there about 10 o'clock at night, see. And it's in the summertime, and he is sitting out on the front porch in the porch swing, waved at me as I went by, spoke to me, you see. He's pulled up in front of the house and stopped, you see, an automobile. So I just, you know, my wife and I, which was his sister, just hollered at him from the car, you know, the front porch is just right there, just a small front yard, and said, well, we'll see you tomorrow. And he didn't say nothing. He just said, bye-bye. And we went on home. Time we got home, the phone was ringing. They said, he died just a minute ago. He went home at 10:20, just like he said. The Lord told him. Well, I'm glad he went home. Yes, amen. I'm glad he's up there walking down the streets of gold. I'm sorry that he missed out on God's best. Now, what am I saying to you? I'm saying to you, let's don't wait till we get in trouble. Let's correct ourselves right now if we're living in sin. If we're persisting in wrongdoing. Let's just don't let anything touch us that's wrong. Amen. Physical sin, sins of the flesh, or sins of the spirit, either one of them. A lady said to me one time, way back 1939. I'll tell you when it happened. August of 1939. I had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost as a Baptist pastor and received the left foot of fellowship among the Baptists and had accepted the pastor of this little full gospel church in the black land up there in north central Texas. And so 3 months, I'd been pastor of this church 3 months. And this lady came to the parsonage one day. And she said, Brother Hagin, I've got a question for you. Well, I said, you know, the way she looks so serious, I braced myself and got ready for it. She said, now you're a faith and a healing preacher. And I am. Now she said, you know, here in the church, she went on talking about her mother and all and her family. Now she'd just gotten saved about 6-8 months before in my meeting there. But she said, rest of the family been in the church for years. They're not anybody any more faithful and wonderful Christians than them. They faithful, came every service and so on, paid their tithes and all that. I said, oh yeah, that's right, I admit that. Now you didn't know my husband's family because they moved away before you got here. But she said, my family, my mother and all of us have been in this church for 23 years. If any of us, now of course I wasn't saved till 8 months ago, but if any of my family, I've watched them 23 years, if any of our family ever got healed, I don't know it. In 23 years. Now you think about that. In a full gospel church. And they were the most faithful family in the church. And spiritual. Her mother was one of the most spiritual persons I ever met. I'll be honest with you. Gifts of the Spirit operate through you. See, you're not going to get healed because gifts of the Spirit operate through you. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
Gifts of the Spirit operate through that woman. Marvelous, marvelous. Really a deeply spiritual woman. But she said, our family always wind up dying or going to the hospital or being operated on or dying. Two of them had died prematurely. But now, she said, this other family, my husband's family, in a 23-year period, they were good people, don't misunderstand me, and lived right. Oh, they wouldn't tell a lie on you for anything in the world. But they weren't just as faithful as they should be about coming to church always. But she said, if one of them ever failed to get healed, I don't know it. Well, I said, Madge, you haven't asked me anything. You've told me something. Well, now she said, here's my question. My question is, how come? Well, you can't tell somebody why some people get healed and some don't unless God just gave you a specific revelation. You don't know. The Bible said, and I don't even touch it. The Lord said to me one time, in fact, Jesus said it to me when he appeared to me in a vision, and I asked him about one of my own loved ones who failed to get healed. See? He said, that's not any of your business. I asked Jesus. He told me just to point blank, just looking at me right bare face in the face. I mean, his face just close to mine as John Osteen. He said, that's not any of your business. That's between me and them. If I'd wanted you to know, I'd told you. Quit sticking your nose in other people's business. Some people run around, well, why didn't this get healed? That isn't none of your business. That's God's business. If he'd wanted you to know, he'd told you. If he didn't tell you, forget it.
Welcome to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. For more life-changing resources from Kenneth E. Hagin, Kenneth W. Hagin, Craig Hagin, Lynette Hagin, and Denise Hagin Burns, check out our online bookstore. This month's special offer is just $45. Untapped Power of Praise book by Kenneth Hagin. Scriptures for Healing, Peace, and Success, a USB drive by Kenneth E. Hagin and Lynette Hagin. Craig Hagin's CD, What Do You Have on the Inside? And Denise Hagin Burns' CD, Living a God-Conscious Life. Four life-changing resources, one incredible price of $45. To order, call toll-free 1-888-FAITH-99. That's 1-888-324-8499. You can also order online at rhema.org. That's rhema.org. rhema.org. Or you can write to Kenneth Hagin Ministries. Our address is P.O. Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74150. We always love to hear from our listeners, so email us today at partnerservice@rhema.org. Right now, let's join Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.
Well, we start Living Faith conferences in January.
Yes,
January the 18th through the 20th. We're going to be in Daytona Beach, Florida at a Relevant Church, Pastors Chris and Liz Sarno.
Yes,
and
yes.
And then we're going where, honey?
We're going up to Panama City, Florida, January 21 through 23 at Cornerstone Family Church with Pastors Greg and Alicia Aldridge.
That's right.
So if you want to know any of our traveling schedule, just go to rhema.org/LFC and you'll find out about it.
Tomorrow on Rhema for Today, we'll continue Kenneth E. Hagin's life-changing teaching. That's next time on Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.